Let us continue in our continuum. Take your document out. Everybody should have one. If not, raise your hands and ushers will see that you have one. Let's repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures. The matrix. Let's turn to page 22 where we were, and amen. I am convinced by the Holy Spirit that we must move very slowly and meticulously through this. No longer worried about how far we get. This is part one of six parts, and part one has 60 pages, and we're on page 22. But you cannot go to page 5 before you have some comprehension of page 4. Page 22, this morning we're going to talk about that which is unfamiliar and inexperienced. Take your Bible and turn to our base will be in 1 Corinthians this morning, in chapter 2. Start with verse 12. Elder Nickerson is our designated reader. Now, in recapitulation of some things that we have conveyed to you previously, if you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, what we dealt with there was the fact that Paul spoke of what the conflict was that he experienced while he was going through great trials. And this is what these exercises are about. That is to align our senses, our conscience, to the point where they belong to God. Everything is about God. Not just some things. All things. And we see everything in light of God instead of in light of ourselves. And then Paul warns, he said, now this is the converse of worldly wisdom. But that this is what is in the grace of God, the message, the mystery. Everybody said the mystery.
Yes, sir.
Which is that message that God revealed to Paul that deals with scripture viewing overpowering matrix viewing. Scripture viewing is what God has said. Matrix viewing is what we see. And what God said is the essence of what a thing is, rather than what we see. What we see can be very deceiving to us. And he said to those Corinthians, he said, now, this is what we have, this is the course, and this is our continence, and this is the way we have viewed things, and this is the way we have conducted ourselves or lived in the world, but more especially toward you, so that through the example of the comfort, this comfort that we just talked about now, that focuses on God, amen, that you will see this example, and this is what you follow. In verse 13, he said, now, this is what you should acknowledge. This is what you should acknowledge. This is the acknowledgement of what the grace message is, that we walk by faith in God's word rather than by the appearances of things that we see in this life. What you see does not define what it is. What a thing is for is what it is. Not what you perceive as you're seeing it. It is the purpose of a thing rather than the process in manifestation of a thing that basically says what it is. And so we don't say, well, what is this? But what do we say? What is this for? What is God doing with this? What is God doing? Not what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything but hanging on. Or trying to. But what is God doing? That is what defines what things are. And then I was struck this morning as Deacon Gavin was teaching Sunday school. And he went to that 8th chapter of Romans. What is that? 8:28. In fact, just hold Corinthians for a minute. And let's go to that for a minute. Amen. You struck up a nerve, Brother Deacon. Amen. Read that, Elder. Hold 1 Corinthians. No one turn that loose now. 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. Put a marker there or something. Romans 8:28. Just that one verse. All right, Elder Nicholson, we read it, and everyone has it. Romans 8:28. First of the King James, and then from the Greek exegete that. It's going to take some time, but it's going to help us as far as where we're going this morning. Read.
Romans 8:28, King James Version. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God.
See that "to them" in there? Everything does not work, and the focus of things revolving around us. I want you to listen to me this morning.
That's right.
Those that are listening through our audio, take this document and you click on the icon there and it will take you to this document. 8:28. Let me give you a little suggestion. When you enter the mystery writings, when you enter Paul's epistles, anything that looks like it's revolving around a center on the individual, the person, humanity, the flesh.
Right.
Paul didn't say it. That's a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
We've been taught that we're the center of everything.
Oh.
Isn't it? We're not the center of anything. We're not the nucleus of anything. All right, Elder, read that.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose.
Let's go to the Greek quickly.
And we know that to the ones...
See that? He couldn't resist it. Look above that. And you don't have to be a Greek scholar to this. You know, what is above ones?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay?
And
to the loving God.
And we know to the loving God,
mm-hmm.
all things work together
mm-hmm.
for good
mm-hmm.
to the according
to. Right, skip that one.
To purpose.
No, wait. Because somebody teach that all things work going to work out for you. How to get what you want.
Yeah. Oh, right.
The gauge of what's good is what's good to me.
Oh,
you know why those in parentheses bracketed? Because it's not there. Why do we exegete? Because you're not about to explain something until you know and have the correct utterance of what it's saying. Finish that up, Elder. To the one,
to
the loving, to the loving. To start over again with that verse.
And we know to the loving God, all things work together, God for good, to the according to purpose called being.
That's what he's saying. Everything is about the purpose. God is a loving God. And everything that he does is good. According to his purpose. All things are working together to the loving God. To the according to his purpose. Well, someone's going to read that and something doesn't come out the way I want it, and I'm confused. Or the way I think it should be, and I'm confused. I lost my job. I lost my health. I lost my family. I lost my pension. Or at least part of it. See any good in it. But when you understand this, now you're ready to go back in the Old Testament and teach. And what does it teach? It was good that Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. Why? Because the good purpose of God that two nations were, y'all don't hear me this morning, two nations were fed in the time of famine. And God revealed that to Joseph, and he said, now you meant it. Your purpose was for evil, but God's, y'all don't hear me this one, God's purpose is good.
And
your next child, always remember that God's purpose is good.
Hallelujah.
I can't see it. I don't walk by sight.
There you go,
come on. Don't walk by sight. Sight will trip you up and mess you up.
Yeah.
Walking by sight will make you one of the most miserable something you can ever see.
That's right.
Life is not about us. Life is, again, life is not about us. Your life is not about you. And what we read in the pastor's pen, you are bought for price, the precious blood of Jesus. The life you live, what, is not your own.
Glory to God. That's right.
It's not about me. This is one of the greatest fallacies and flaws of ministering today, is the appeal to what's in this for me. Life is not about you.
That's right.
It's about him. In fact, your sister Carolyn Liberman said, come on one time. It's all about him.
All about
him. And about you, according to what he has purposed for you. We're creatures. He's the creator.
Amen.
Can the clay say to the potter, Lord, why did you do it that way? What did you do this, you know?
All glory.
And when I hear a person talking in relationship to bending God ways, influencing God to do what I want, there's one of those books.
Yeah, right.
That's like we were looking at online.
Yeah.
Immediately we know that they don't understand sovereignty. They don't understand the sovereignty of God. God's right to do what he wants when he wants. In fact, he did it. Where did he do it? In eternity. So now, using an analogy, you're standing in the mirror and you want to change something, so you're reaching to the mirror to change it, right? No. That's what end times workings of men to try to alter something that God has already put in place. And if he placed it there, he placed it there for purpose. Everybody said purpose.
Purpose.
Now let's go to our main. My God, look at that clock. One of these days, y'all will let me preach a couple of hours. I love those looks. Just kidding. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Elder Reed, 12 through. Well, just for context, 12 through 16, King James. Everybody got 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, amen? 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2 and 12.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Now notice, comparing what? Spiritual with spiritual. Go ahead.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him.
You see what's happening?
Huh? Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man.
And it's not really the way Paul basically said that, but we'll straighten it out. Maybe not today because the time has gotten a little loud, but basically again, now here we are focusing on man. What qualification do we have through human thinking to assess anything? You only know what God reveals to you.
Amen. Amen.
Anything else is flawed. Foolishness. Nonsense. There's no scripture backing for it. It's useless. It's an opinion. And of course, I got some opinions, and you've got some opinions, and of course, yeah, we respect each other's opinions, but opinions are worthless. In the book, we say a lot of things, but it's inundated. There are a plethora of scriptures. If I say something, I need to be able to back it up with what God is saying. And I'm saying it because God said it. Because just for me to say it doesn't mean anything. Worthless. What God is saying is what it is. What I see has to be assessed based upon its alignment with what God is saying. And if God didn't say it, I tell you, that's not what it is.
Yes. Amen.
All right, keep reading.
For who hath known the mind of God that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
All right, we have the mind of Christ. See, that goes back to that Alignment of the senses. Mm-hmm. That which belongs to God or to Christ. Amen. We think according to His thinking.
Amen.
We view things according to what He has said.
Amen.
Even if it contradicts what we physically see.
Right.
Amen.
That's how it works. All right, for the sake of time, Elder, in the Greek, let's go to verse 13.
Which things also we speak, not...
No, I'm sorry, we have to back up the 12, because that I'm not going to bring the context in there. But here, Paul, he's writing to a very physical people, the Corinthians. They're very fleshly or physical. Very worldly. Everything was seen and assessed and discerned through physicality. And some of them, it was hard for them to see otherwise, because some of these people, some of these were rich folk. This was a very prosperous city as far as physical possessions were. But they were one of the most common people that you would ever lay eyes on. In fact, many of them were spiritually bankrupt. In that 12th verse, read.
And we not the spirit of the world receive, but the spirit from God, in order that we may know the things by God.
No, wait a minute. Hold. Brother Deacon, got your Greek lexicon there. But the spirit that's ek. It's ek to... No, yes. What is God there? It is a what? In verse 12. God. All right, okay. Basically there, look at the ending there. Theou. From God, or that which belongs to God. What belongs to God? Everything. How that thing is being focused. It's about God. It's about His purpose. It's about His plan. It's about what He's doing.
Yes.
It's not about the world. In a few weeks, there's going to be a general presidential election in the nation. And I said the other night at the Bates house, I said to my granddaughter's Bates, I said, someone asked me, so, are you watching? I said, yes and no, because I was working on this material. I said, yes and no, because you got lies from both sides. Because if he tells the truth, he won't get any votes. I mean, to end a debate, say, well, hey, we don't control anything, God.
Oh, no.
Now, we'll do this if it's God's will.
Oh, my Jesus.
Just lost the election,
you
right? God got the agenda. So, who's going to win then? is already in place from eternity.
Mm-hmm. Already.
Mm-hmm. Whoever is designed to be at the hems of what goes down in the next frame is already the winner.
Already.
And not that God is endorsing him.
Right.
Did he endorse Pharaoh?
Oh, no.
Did he endorse Stalin?
No.
Did he endorse Hitler?
No.
I just took the most notorious out.
Right.
It's whatever's in that frame for his purpose. We gotta put godly people in office. Now, some will hear this and say, "Oh, they're teaching fatalism, and also they're teaching that you shouldn't participate." Paul was a Roman citizen, and he voted on November 6th. I will make a statement right now. Go to the polls and vote for whoever God leads you to vote for. Plus, that's what you're going to do anyway. But don't think that your vote was the determining factor of who got in or who didn't get in. Finish reading that, just that one verse, and then we're going to have to get into the document. 14.
14?
Mm-hmm.
But a natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for folly to him they are,
mm-hmm.
and he cannot to know, because mm-hmm. spiritually they are discerned.
Okay, so it's not a sign, it's not been pre-assigned him to know, having known. And you wonder why, so why do people believe a lie? Why do people depravity that's not the capacity to grasp the truth? Only reason we embrace truth is that God overrules depravity and calls us to embrace truth. Because we're depraved and we don't know anything. Can you imagine a politician saying that? Just blew the election. Well, preachers have become politicians. Politician tells the people how great they are. Preacher is a commission to tell you how debased you are. The politician tells you how wise you are. The preacher is commissioned to tell you that you don't know anything. Can you imagine the politicians? And so the preachers acting, many of the preachers and the ministers are acting like politicians. I tell the ministry as in the ministry class, you stand up here, you do what? Call your text, you do what? Exegete your text, what? Explain what's there. Teach what's there. Whatever is there. Whatever, no matter, if somebody walks out, and they have to walk out on us, you preach what's there. What did Paul tell Timothy? Preach these things. And then when you get through preaching these things, what?
Yeah.
Sit down. Before the depravity takes over.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Now the exercise here is to bring our minds into conformity and alignment and focusing on God, so that as we look into the matrix or look into life and see things, we see them through the workings of God rather than what we're doing. All right, now, here we move to the bottom of page 22. We went through this exercise that as we go through this now, the commentary, we're looking in the matrix and we're looking at life through the lens of the scriptures. And even though we see things here, we're not taking any of them face value. We're looking beyond what we see in process and calling it according to God's purpose. Everybody say, unfamiliar and inexperienced. Right under that. This is the unfamiliar facilitation. That bears neither the dismal dowsing appeal exhibited in the transactions imbued at the beginning and the end of occurrence, and things are happening, it could go this way or that way and so forth, and we're assessing this way as my way, or the dowsing as my way, and the dismal as that which goes against what I want.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The dowsing is what makes me happy. The dismal is what destroys my confidence. And so as we look at these things, as it reads here, these chronicles arouse incapacities to reliably certify whatever and whenever such I believe. So you don't go by what you see and so forth and so on. And this is why sometimes as we're going through things, we can rejoice in the God of our salvation. While I'm hurting? While I'm afflicted? Yes. Why? Because of the loving God to the what? Purpose. His purpose. To the loving God's purpose. It is good according to the loving God's purpose. Somebody. Viewing things the way they look here, but the way they are, according to the loving God's purpose.
Amen. Thank God. Yes.
Well, I can't see that. We are not walking by sight.
That's right.
Now, look at it this way. You're into the matrix and you're going through these frames. This is strictly manifestation. For the purpose of testimony. Where are you really? Ephesians 1 and 3. What? Every spiritual blessing that you need is in the heavens. And where are the heavens? So where are you? So in a man in Christ, he's what? He is right now. New create, old thing already passed.
Yes.
Behold, all are new. Where we are is where we always were.
Amen. Amen.
Before you were ever placed and encapsulated in these vile bodies for a period.
Right.
So you're walking through this frame, but that's not really where you are.
Amen.
And these are the things that we explain in the book. Don't be afraid of God's will. Otherwise, life will wear you out. Life will make you miserable. Now, here we are, sons of God, heirs of God, heirs of that which belongs to Christ, and we're miserable. Because of the temporary manifestations in time, space frames. In spite of these morphs, charismas, these changing from day to day, from good to bad, from encouraging to outright despair. Their views identify, and of course we view things from this is the way it should be. The dowsing appeal, and a genuine temptation of comfortable numbness and ease, and if I can just get that extra bonus from my job. I can just get that promotion. That's what I sit back. That's what I rely on. And that's what makes me happy. No. Because of the word morph in there. What does morph mean?
Change.
Mean change. As I did the video that was on the internet with the baby, with the music. As long as the music was playing, the baby was crying. The baby was laughing. Every time the music stops, the baby cries. Well, you know, you can do that with the baby. The baby's crying, and then you just take him and you start to shake him a little bit. And he just starts laughing. Yeah. Then your arms get tired. Or if you're like me, it won't take long at all. You can't do that for so long. Then you set the baby back down your lap. Because as long as you were juggling him, he was content. As long as we're going through life, and it looks like the music is playing. And the dancing. But soon as the music and the dancing stops, this is what this is saying. Conversely, everybody see we're at the bottom of the page there. In numerous instances, the dismal appeal, everybody said dismal appeal. That's when we say, oh, things are really, 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 really messed up. Things are completely out of order. It's the avenue to exactness that exudes unmasking a fictional as yet unimaginable but prearranged contentious purposed what? In its actualized precision of reminiscence. Now what we're saying here, we're saying this is the way God has outlaid this thing, and that's the way it is.
That's right.
And the essence of it is in purpose. Not in process. And because the process is laid out in a certain way, and I think this is the way that thing should be, and when I get there, that's not the way it is, I'm unhappy. But my happiness should be that it is the good purpose of God. And that in spite of what it seems to be, the purpose overrules the process. You know, you can be happy when you're broke. I know, been there, I am there. You know, you can be happy when you're sick. I know. I've been there. I am there. Three times Paul said to the Lord, Lord, move this thing. You've got all of this work for me to do. Lord, please move this thing. He said, Paul. My grace is sufficient. Leave it alone.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Your plan is for me to give you carte blanche so that you can do it. And amen. And what I have decreed is that you would do it in spite of the fact amen, that you're sick. In spite of the fact that you're broke. Oh my God. Let me know. Witness. It will magnify my strength. Oh my God, we should give him a praise this morning. Oh, hallelujah. And once Paul understood that, he said, I would much rather glory in tribulation. Another place he said, tribulation worketh what?
Patience.
And patience what?
Experience.
And then experience what? And then hope what? Doesn't disappoint us. That word is a shame that the King James said it. Hope doesn't disappoint us. Why? Because the love of God, not shed, that Greek word is poured. The love of God is poured upon you. Poured out in our minds. In our hearts, in our spirit. Where did it come from? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit, God, aligning our minds.
Thank God.
That's right.
If you don't understand this, as you walk through life, you're not going to be able to appreciate God.
That's right.
We've been taught to appreciate God based upon getting the things that we want or to move things according to our plan. And when that doesn't happen, we're very unhappy campers. That which we call dazzling is dismal, and that which we call dismal is dazzling. Let's go to that second paragraph at the top of page 23. Now, we must go through this so that when we get to move into hear our explications expositorily, we understand that we're looking in life, we're looking through the matrix, but we're no longer looking through them with our physical thinking. We're looking at things and we're seeing them different from what they seem to be. Comprehensiveness, are you with me? Of these functionalities exudes reception to authentic existentiality. What is authentic? What is real? What is really existing?
Right, right.
That is, when we comprehend things through the Word of God.
That's right.
Remarkably, misperceived realities instigate what liquefy around and touch the mirrored envelope of adjourning affairs as if being expelled from in them like an air bubble, so that things are coming out of things. Things are not coming out of things. Well, I did this, and because I did this, that happened. No, you didn't. Where did it come from? It came from God's decree. If God has brought that thing into your life, it is for a purpose. It showed up because God had use for it. Oh my God.
Hallelujah.
Remember, you sent them to get the donkey. He said, if anybody asks you, tell them the master has use for it. If that thing jumps up, no matter how bad it looks, how challenging it looks, how terrifying it is, amen. The master has used for it.
That's right.
That's right.
Come on.
Amen. That's why it's there.
That's why.
Yeah. For God's purpose.
Yeah.
Why am I broke?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I sick?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I having a hard time with relations? God has use for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish you'd do it another way. Just a, psh, it just goes right by us. You know what we get mixed up? Who is the creator and who's the creature? Yeah, right. Who is the pot and who's the clay? Oh my God, look at that clock. Amen.
Thank God.
So that thing jumps up and is expelled like an air bubble, and so that thing is bubbled up. You say, woo. And many of us think that when we say, woo, God says, woo. In these most horrific and effectively rendered moments, insecurity then awakens in a completely wired state enclosed within a gelatinous membrane which pushes throughout in order to survive. In other words, I got to do this and I got to get out. This thing is here and I got to do this and some stuff. You know what? Some things can get so downright intimidating and overbearing in our minds. We forget all about God.
Yes.
In fact, some of the sons from Peter, God didn't have anything to do with that. I would hate to. What is more comforting? God has a use for it. God doesn't have anything to do with it. We're in trouble. If there's anything going on in the universe, in life, in the matrix, that God has something to do with it. A crazy person goes inside of a public place and shoots and kills numerous ones. God had use for it. What? This little baby, someone brutally murdered them. God has use for it. Preacher, you can't mean that. Well, what's the opposite of it? Either God didn't care, either he has the power and didn't use it. Either he has the knowledge and didn't know it. Or maybe he was gone away, you know, like in Genesis, God leaves the garden, and then while he's gone, Satan comes in, and before when God gets back, things are all messed up. Things are ruined. Stay out of the Old Testament for doctrine. And listen, if you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you are going to be confused. Everything in Eden was arranged. Ooh, hallelujah. Designed for the good purpose of God. Adam disobeyed God, and the resulting consequences, because God had use for it. Things just don't happen. And when you understand this, you know that it didn't happen because of you, and your way out of it is not through you. No, you said that we should do anything. No, you're going to do whatever's been decreed for you to do. But realize what you're doing is not the determining factor.
Hallelujah.
You are only a component in the process of testimony. But whatever that thing is, amen, it is in eternity from the beginning, always has been, and never wasn't.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God. So, yes, go out and do whatever, but just not what we depend upon.
Our
survival is not dependent upon us.
Hallelujah.
Oh, can you imagine a politician saying that?
Oh.
Just lost the election. Try to finish this paragraph this morning. These illusions, everybody with me here, interpret seemingly infinite numbers of armors. This is how it looks. Lying dormant. As far as I can see, in a sense, graphically intuitive, but inevitably cast, discarded down the anxiety chute. You think this is the way out, this is what you should do. And so you're going to go through all these changes, and they're all going to amount to nothing. Go to sleep at night. Yeah, but my bills are behind. Go to sleep. They're coming to take my house. Go to sleep. Because all that you do is not going to make it any better. But thank God it's not going to make it any worse either. Whatever changes you're going through has no bearing on what it is. What does that Mother Goodloe Johnson say? Why should I be laying here worried about something? It's already done. Go to sleep. So, well, if we say so, da, 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 I put it all in God's hand, but it's never in your hands. is in his hands, but not because you put it there. In this awakened sense, the matrix encounters its mechanized state in disconnecting the shrewd. That is, things are not as they seem, they're off base. The shrewd manifestations of deified purpose. Everybody said deified purpose. In its materialized system. God has placed that thing is there. His purpose controls it and rules it and defines what it is. And you're just a component in it. The lives that we live each day and all of the things that we do, they are just merely components. In testimony, we don't control anything, we don't determine anything, we don't decide what is, what isn't. We don't, we're not the reason of why things are one way or the other. Don't worry, what we read the good purpose of God. And you know, that is, when we look at things in life, and as we come, that just seems so far-fetched, doesn't it? Just that, no, uh-uh. You know, Invictus, I'm the captain of my soul. My fate is in my hands. First of all, fate is an illusion.
Amen.
Fate is some unknown, and we convey this in the book, some unknown, uncontrolled force. It's like a train, mm-hmm. a runaway train. Mm-hmm. Wherever it goes and whatever, that's where it is. Mm-hmm. That's fate. If I'm at the right place at the right time, good. If I'm at the wrong place at the wrong time, too bad, right?
No.
That thing's already set.
Already.
All right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to close this out. Looks like we only get through one paragraph today. But you know what? If we get that,
right,
and you go out there this week,
right,
and something jumps all over you, and you understand this? Mm-hmm. You're going to have a good day, not a bad day.
Praise Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you're going to get a good night's sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
If we understand, yes, that what's there in the matrix, what's in life, mm-hmm, is for Him. Not for us. It is only for us in relationship to what God has purposed for us. Now the thing is, do we trust what God has done for us? But it starts with, then that starts with salvation. Now, how are you going to gauge something as being detrimental to you when in eternity He placed you in the body of Christ? Of our life is not about us. All right, last sentence here in exposition, and then we'll close for the day. Juxtaposition, that is comparing. When you compare something, you juxtapose something, you compare it. Juxtaposition of spirituality and physicality, secularity, when you compare the two, it assembles the criteria of stability in creation beyond humanity's collapse through its particular chilling moments. And what we're saying is, If you look at that thing spiritually instead of physically, what it brings together is the criteria that is the requirement of stability. When you look at it physical, instability. When you look at it spiritually, stability. When you look at it spiritually, joy and peace. When you look at it physically, turmoil, trepidation. When you look at it physically, nothing's right. When you look at it spiritually, everything is all right. Song, thank you to sing the song. All right, everything's gonna be all right. That means that thing's gonna line with what I want. No, it's not. It's all right because whatever God's purpose is in it is all right.
Amen. Thank God.
Glory to God. Last sentence. The gaze of its mechanisms. Exact. Consecutiveness of useless defections when such deport a move a focus is based in the matrix misaligned representations of existence. Everybody said the matrix misaligned representation of existence. Let's do that again. The matrix misaligned representation of existence. What you see does not really represent what it is. Another little aphorism we have, a principle saying that we have developed around here. It's in God's saying, not what we see. Say it again. Now, what is the purpose of all of this? We come in here each week and we go through all of these things. Why? Why didn't I talk about the election this morning? Why didn't I talk about health care? Social Security. Why didn't I talk about the economy? Because as we have just read, these are occurrences in the matrix that are all there for God's use.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Not for our utilizing. Not for our utilizing, but for God's use. In fact, they're already set. Everything concerning you this week is already set as you leave out of here this morning.
Amen.
Everything is already done.
Amen.
But as we started out in that scripture of speaking of the things that belong to God and how we view things, I think of the song we were last week, and I pull out Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Then it says, and this is what the exercise is about, Lord, lift me up going through these exercises. As I travel through the matrix, Lord, lift me up and let me stand. How? By faith. By faith. Lord, let my understanding come through faith. Let the faith of life, amen, dwell in my heart by faith. Let me trust by faith. Let me walk by faith. On heaven's table land, a higher plane. Can you say a higher plane? Can you say a higher plane? Then I will assume, Lord, plant my feet. Where? On higher ground. That last verse there says, I won't scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. And you know you're out of the matrix now, aren't you? Huh? Are you still, are you in the matrix? Oh my God. Yeah, your conscience is moving through it, but now your conscience is controlled by God.
Glory to God. Yeah, that's right.
But still I pray. Heaven not found. Lord, lead me on. Can you say lead me on? Can you say lead me on? To higher ground. Lord, lift me up. Lift me up. Let me stand. By faith. Can you say by faith? Can you say by faith? On heaven's tableland, a higher plane. Can you say higher plane? Can you say higher plane? I found, Lord, that's what this is all about. Where? Higher ground. God bless you. We'll take it up next week.